Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 6, entitled The Yadu Dynasty Retires to Prabhash, Text 16.
Tata pumansam digamya yayasyariyam.
Tata pumansam digamya yayasyariyam.
Dati mahantam ivagava mamogaviya. So yam zayanu yata atmana anda kosham.
So yam zayanu
yata atmana anda kosham. Tataha.
From you.
Puman,
the Purusha Avatar, Mahavishnu,
Samadhi Gamya,
obtaining,
Yaya,
along with which, material nature,
Asya,
of this creation,
Viyam,
the potential seed.
Dati,
he impregnates.
Mahantam,
the Mahatattva, the raw amalgamation of matter.
Ivagavam,
like an ordinary fetus.
Amogaviyaha,
he whose semen is never wasted.
Sa
ayam,
that same Mahatattva.
Taya,
with the material nature.
Anugataha,
joined.
Atmanaha,
from itself.
Andakosham,
the primeval egg of the universe.
Hayavam,
golden,
Sasaja,
produced,
Bahi,
on its outside,
Avaranai,
with several coverings,
Upecham,
endowed.
Translation and purport by His Divine by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. My dear Lord, the original Purusha Avatar, Mahavishnu, acquires his creative potency from you. Thus, with infallible energy, he impregnates material nature, producing the Mahatattva. Then the Mahatattva, the amalgamated material energy, endowed with the potency of the Lord, produces from itself the primeval golden egg of the universe, which is covered by various layers of material elements. Translation, please repeat. My dear Lord, the original Purusha Avatar, Mahavishnu, acquires his creative potency from you. Thus, with infallible energy, he impregnates material nature, producing the Mahatattva. Then the Mahatattva, the amalgamated material energy, endowed with the potency of the Lord, produces from itself the primeval golden egg of the universe, which is covered by various layers of material elements. Third point. In the previous verses, the supremacy of the personality of Godhead has been established in relation to the living entity and material nature. In this verse, it is clearly stated that Lord Krishna is the source of the greatest Vishnu incarnation, Mahavishnu. and that Mahavishnu acquires his creative potency from Lord Krishna. It would therefore be foolish to surmise that Lord Krishna is an expansion of Vishnu. In this regard, the opinion of the demigods headed by Brahma can be taken as final. Translation: my dear Lord, the original Purusha avatar Mahavishnu acquires his creative potency from you. Thus, with infallible energy, he impregnates material nature, producing the Mahatattva. Then the Mahatattva, the amalgamated material energy, endowed with the potency of the Lord, produces from itself the primeval golden egg of the universe, which is covered by various layers of material elements. Om Ajnatamandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshumotim Janayan Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shuchitanam Anubhisam Sapatam Yanabhutale Svayamupukadamayam Dadaptisadvidantikam Mukham Karate Vachalam Bhangam Langa Tegrim Yatkripatam Mahamvade Shri Gurum Devacharanam. So I haven't been here for the whole story. Who is speaking here? Sorry? Anyone specifically? So it says the opinion of the demigods. They're all speaking together, are they? So this is the opinion of the demigods headed by Brahma. In the purport is stating this in this way, because this is the opinion of the great demigods headed by Lord Brahma, this opinion is taken as final. They're basically, in all these verses, they're stating the supremacy of the personality of Godhead, that even Mahavishnu and all the different incarnations are subordinate to the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Even though they have the same potency as the original Supreme Lord Krishna, still they're subordinate and they're expansions from him. Just like Srila Prabhupada says, you may have many candles, but there's one original candle, and that one candle lights many other candles. They all have the same potency, but there's still one original candle. So this verse is stating that even the original Purusha avatar, Mahavishnu, acquires his creative potency from you. So here they're talking about Krishna. So the great demigods like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and others, they know the religious principles. The religious principles, Dharmantu, Shakshad, Bhagavat, Pranitam, originally enunciated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And these great demigods, because they're great devotees of Krishna, they know the religious principles. They ultimately know who is the Supreme. And they know the process of Bhakti Yoga for all of the entities to attain the Supreme benefit of becoming fully Krishna conscious and getting out of this material entanglement and going back to the spiritual world. So there's 12 great authorities who know these religious principles, who are like the original teachers of this science of the Supreme Personality of Godhead throughout all the universes. What's that verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam? How does it start? 12 great authorities. Svayambhu Naradasvambhu Komara Kapilo Manu Prana Pralada Janako Bhishmo Bali Vayaski Vayam. That the 12 great authorities Svayambhu Manu, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Four Kumaras, Lord Kapila, Bali Maharaj, Sukadeva Goswami, who else? Janaka Maharaj, Bhishma Dev, Prahlad, and Yamaraj. So here we're getting the opinion of these great personalities headed by Lord Brahma. So this is to be taken as the final understanding. After hearing from these great souls on the science of Godhead, on the supremacy of Krishna, then nothing needs to be speculated beyond that. Of course, the whole process of Krishna consciousness is beyond speculation. It's basically two processes of understanding science of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the descending process and the ascending process. So those who are proud of their own mind and senses and their mental speculations try to understand the creation of the Supreme Being with their own mind and senses. This is called the ascending process. But this is very limited because, especially in our conditioned state, we have imperfect senses, we're prone to commit mistakes, subject to illusion, and we have the cheating propensity. So with our conditioned senses, what can we see with our mundane vision or hear with our mundane hearing? We're very limited. Even there's many animals that have much better facility for material vision or hearing. Prabhupada says like an eagle can see its prey from like miles and miles in the sky. It has very good eyesight, but what's the value of its eyesight? It's just focusing on dead carcass. So many people are speculating, thinking they can understand spiritual subject matters, but it's basically impossible through the mind and senses. The actual process is the descending process, coming down in the disciplic succession, parampara, from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, descending through all the great spiritual teachers, like these 12 personalities we just mentioned. And Krishna himself in the Bhagavad Gita says, Aham Savasa Prabhavam Matasavam Pravatati Iti Madhvava Jantimam Buddhabhava Samanvita. I am the source of all material and spiritual wealth. Everything emanates from me. The wiser know this perfectly, engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. So Krishna is stating that he is not only the source of the material creations, but even the source of all the spiritual creations as well. Even first expansion, Lord Balaram. Krishna is the origin of Lord Balaram. He's the first expansion. But still, Krishna is the supreme, original personality of Godhead. Sometimes the question is asked, who is stronger, Lord Krishna or Balaram? There's instances of Krishna's resting on Lord Balaram. And some people may say Balaram is the strongest, because Balaram means source of all strength. But the actual answer is that Krishna is the he is the strongest. He is the Bhagavan, Supreme Bhagavan, who possesses all opulences, complete strength, complete beauty, complete knowledge, complete fame, complete wisdom, and complete renunciation to an unlimited degree. And of course, all these different incarnations, like Lord Balaram, Mahavishnu, etc., they also, as we were saying before, possess the same qualities as Krishna. But Krishna, he possesses four qualities that are over and above even all the different incarnations of the Lord. That is that he is attracting all living entities eternally by playing on his flute. He's always surrounded by loving devotees. He performs uncommon pastimes that are even more amazing and wonderful than even the pastimes of Lord Ram or Lord Nrisimha, like this. And what's the last one? His beauty is beyond compare. So we read about the different avatars, and all through the Srimad Bhagavatam there's wonderful stories about the different incarnations of Krishna, and they're all very wonderful and all very purifying and very exciting to hear, transcendentally exciting. And we can purify ourselves by hearing any of these pastimes from all material contamination, but ultimately when we hear the pastimes of Krishna, like in the 10th canto, the Krishna book, these are par excellence, super excellent, even beyond all the pastimes of the different incarnations of the Lord. And especially it's said that the Vaishnavas, they were especially attracted to the pastimes of Krishna as a child. These are even more attractive than pastimes of Krishna in Mathura or Dwarka. And what was that story that the gopis were once looking for Krishna and they came past Vishnu, and they practically didn't pay any attention, wasn't it? And they just asked him, where is Krishna? We're not interested in Lord Vishnu. And wasn't it once Lord Krishna was trying to hide himself from the gopis, and he put on a forearm form, but as soon as the gopis came into his association, he couldn't hide himself any longer. Wasn't it like that? Right, when Radharani came. And immediately he manifested his to a Krishna form again. So also the Srimad Bhagavatam states in the third canto, I'm not sure the exact verse, maybe it's not Etecham Sakalapumsa, is it first canto or third canto? I don't remember. First canto. So it says, Ite cham cha kalapum sa Krishnas tu Bhagavan Sayam Indrari bakalam lokam ridyanti yoge yoge. That out of all the above mentioned incarnations of the Supreme Lord, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And these different incarnations, they manifest themselves different planets throughout the universes to protect the theists and annihilate the atheists. So there's many verses which states the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satyadananda Vigraha Anadi Adi Govinda Sava Karana Karana. Even Lord Brahma is praying that I worship Govinda, who is the primeval Lord, the cause of all causes. So here, in the purport, the disciples of Srila Prabhupada are stating that it is foolish to surmise that Lord Krishna is an expansion of Vishnu. There's many misconceptions like this, especially in India, that Vishnu is supreme and Lord Krishna and all the avatars are actually coming from Vishnu. But as with these verses we've just stated, that actually Krishna stating himself to be the origin of not only the material worlds but all the spiritual worlds. So obviously if he's the origin of all the spiritual worlds, he's also the origin of all the different avatars and expansions of the Lord, including Vishnu. So it's stating here in the purport that it would be foolish to surmise that Lord Krishna is an expansion of Vishnu. So if this is foolish to have this misconception, how foolish is it to have so many other misconceptions that the demigods are supreme. There's also many misconceptions that, you know, Lord Shiva is supreme, or Ganesh, or Durga, or Lord Brahma. Or that even there's many misconceptions that an ordinary powerful man on this planet is supreme. So many, especially in Kali Yuga, it's said that there's so many so-called incarnations of the Lord appearing practically every day. It's said in India, this is very common, and apparently in West Bengal it's most common, that there's an incarnation on every corner of the street. But to be an incarnation, what does it speak of being the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna? To be an incarnation, such a personality has to be mentioned in the revealed scriptures. Their qualities, their names, their forms, their pastimes, their place of birth, their parents, their wonderful pastimes like this. That we see all these so-called incarnations appearing in Kali Yuga, none of them are mentioned in the revealed scriptures. None of them have the qualities of the incarnations of the Lord. And none of them perform the super excellent pastimes of the Supreme Lord or His incarnations. They can maybe produce a little bit of ash, a little bit of gold, so they have some mystic power. Or like Srila Prabhupada said in World War II, some people, they worshipped Hitler, because by worshipping him, they achieved some great achievement of money on the black market, by dealing on the black market, simply by worshipping. There was one man, apparently, in India, who was worshipping Hitler. And he achieved great financial success. So if it's foolish to worship Vishnu as supreme, then how much more foolish it is to worship the demigods, or worship some ordinary man as being the supreme, or to worship oneself as being the supreme. These days in Kali Yuga, there's many misconceptions that I am God, you are God, we're all God. But when the devotees state that Krishna is the only supreme personality guided, then such persons will say, no, Krishna is not God. They say everything is God, that Krishna is not God. So how is this? If they say that God is everywhere, and God is in the deity form in Shishi Radha Balava, they are made of the material elements, from stone, from marble, different elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether. So if God is everywhere, then why is He not in the deity form? So this is doesn't make sense, doesn't add up. So yes, we do agree that God is everywhere in every atom, in the hearts of all living entities, as a Paramatma. Krishna is expanded everywhere in every atom. He's all pervading in the Brahman feature of the Supreme Lord. In His universal form, He's in so many different features, like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Rasoham Apsakuntaya, I am that beautiful, pure taste of water. Prabhasmi Sasi Suyoyo, I am the light of the sun and the moon. Pranava Sava Vedeshu, I am the syllable Om in the Vedic mantras. Sabdike Purusham Rishu, I am the sound and ether, I am the ability in man. Of immovable objects, I am the Himalayas. Of aquatics, I am the shark. Of beasts, I am the lion. So even in the material nature, Krishna is stating that how one can see Him in so many different varieties of forms. So yes, we do agree that Krishna, that the Supreme Lord, is manifest everywhere throughout material and spiritual creations, but especially He's manifest in certain forms that the devotees take shelter in, to actually develop their love, to develop their devotion, and to develop their original position as an eternal servant of the Lord. And These forms are the deity form, the form of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the literary incarnation in Kali Yuga. Krishna Sadhama Bhagati Gana Dharmitasi Dharma Gana Dibhisaha Kalo Nastam Drisham Ika Puranako Dhanodita. Srimad Bhagavatam, which is as brilliant as the sun, or sometimes it's said to be more brilliant than millions of suns put together, has appeared just after the departure of Lord Krishna for his own abode. Those who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of the age of Kali shall get light from this Bhagavad Purana. So Krishna's appearing in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita, the literary incarnations in the deity form, the form of his holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. He's in the hearts of all living entities, but he's especially in the hearts of the devotees, those who are completely surrendered unto him. And we are so fortunate in this age of darkness, in this age of Kali, we're surrounded by so much ignorance, but still we're so fortunate that this Sangatan movement has been manifested by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his representatives like Srila Prabhupada and his disciples, in which we have the great fortune to associate directly with the Supreme Personality of Godhead through these different forms. And if we take shelter in the holy name, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the holy place, like these temples, or going to Mayapur, Vrindavan, we take shelter in worshipping the deities and giving our lives to the deities for their pleasure. If we take shelter of these processes, these angas, these most powerful angas of devotional service, then we can practically experience we're making a tangible advancement in Krishna consciousness to developing full understanding of Krishna and his transcendental supreme position. Our hearts are becoming purified. It's practically experienced, like Srila Prabhupada says from the Bhagavatam, Bhakti Pareshana Bhava Virakti Anyatra Chaisha Trika Eka Kala, that bhakti, devotion to Krishna, full transcendental knowledge of Krishna's transcendental position, the living entity's relationship with Krishna, and freedom from material desires and material attachments. These things come automatically with every step we take in devotional service. Just like when you're hungry and you take nourishing food like prasadam, especially prasadam, then you feel freed from hunger, you feel pleasure and nourishment. And of course when we eat Krishna prasadam we feel transcendental pleasure, nourishment and freedom from hunger. So this process is automatic, just like Yashasti Bhakti Bhagavati Yakinchana. Automatically all the good qualities of Krishna and the demigods will manifest in the hearts of living entities who take this process of hearing and chanting and worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this whole movement is for establishing that Krishna is God, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No ordinary man, no demigod, not even any incarnation, but only Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada would state that I have come to establish this, and he, in one address, it may have been in London, he said that some of you are saying that God is dead, or that there is no God, or that you are God. But I have come to smash all this and re-establish that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the Rajasuya sacrifice organized by Maharaj Yudhisthira and his brothers and his associates, after there was many different opinions on who was the supreme, and finally was it Sahadev who was stating that actually Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and he has all the characteristics and qualities of the supreme. And then it was after that Shishupal came up with his blasphemy, so much blasphemy, because he was very envious of Krishna. He was actually one of the associates of the Supreme Lord from the spiritual world, Jayan Vijay, Shishupal and Dandabhadra, wasn't it? Were the third incarnation of Jayan Vijay. There was Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, then Ravana, Kumbhakarna, and Shishupal, Dandabhadra, and finally Jagai and Madai. So we all know the story how Shishupal came to this world because of Jaya and Vijaya's offences to the four Kumaras, and they were destined to take birth in this material world. They had the choice of taking birth seven times as devotees or three times as demons. So they chose three times as demons so that they get back to the spiritual world more quickly. So sometimes Krishna, he brings his associates like this from the spiritual world to enact his pastimes of like fighting, exhibiting his fighting propensity. So Shishupal was one such demon, and in this Rajasuya sacrifice he was giving so much being so offensive and blasphemous towards Krishna, stating that Krishna is just an ordinary person. He's he is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And there was some benediction that Shishupal had. I don't know, can't recall the whole story, that he wouldn't be killed by Krishna until he committed, like, was it 100 offences? Can anyone tell the story?
He was born with four arms.
Right.
And he was Krishna's nephew. And then it was told at the time of his birth that whoever, when the personality came before him and those two extra arms disappeared, then that person would be the cause of his death.
Right. Right, so in the assembly, he was committing one offence after the other, and he was not stopping. And many of the great personalities there, they were getting very agitated and very upset and angry and wanting to kill Shishupal. But Lord Krishna basically stopped them, and Lord Krishna himself was refraining from killing Shishupal until he committed these 100 offences, and then he let his Sudarshan discus go towards Shishupal and took off his head and killed him, and Shishupal achieved liberation. But ultimately in this Rajasuya sacrifice, Krishna was established by all the great personalities to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this whole movement is for spreading the glories of Krishna, spreading the glories of Krishna's name, his fame, his qualities, his pastimes, and his devotees. So Srila Prabhupada, he set up this movement for this, ultimately for this purpose, to spread the glories of Krishna, and when all of the entities come to hear and chant about the glories of Krishna, they will be eternally benefited, purified from more sins than they could commit in millions of lifetimes. Like it's stated in the sixth canto, that Sankhya Champariyasyam Vastovam Helanam Evava Vaikuntha Namagrahanam Pashishagam Haram Vidur. That even if one chants the holy name of Krishna neglectfully or derisively or for musical entertainment, like the Beatles, they used to sail around the Greek islands chanting the Hare Krishna mantra on their guitars or their what are they called, ukuleles, like that. They may have not been so serious about Krishna consciousness. Of course, George Harrison, he was the most serious of them all. But still, they achieved so much benefit by chanting the holy name. So for musical entertainment, jokingly, many people, they joke sometimes at the Hare Krishnas when we're on Harinam Sangatam. But this verse states that they're freed from more sins and they can commit in millions of lifetimes. Freed from unlimited sinful activities. So what to speak if we chant the holy name purely, if we hear with rapt attention the instructions of the Lord, the pastimes of the Lord, how much benefit is there? How quickly we can become purified from all our anathas which were blocking us from spiritual advancement for millions of lifetimes. We've been in this world, the soul is nichabhata, practically eternally conditioned. And our hearts, especially in Kali Yuga, are full of so many dirty desires and sinful activities. It said our condition is like a diamond covered with like coal. Sometimes they get coal and they can have a process to blast the black coal off and they get a diamond out of the coal. So our hearts are like that, completely black from so many sinful activities and sinful desires. But by the powerful process of Krishna consciousness, hearing, chanting, remembering, serving Krishna, preaching the glories of Krishna, then even the most fallen conditioned souls of Kali Yuga, even the Jagas and Muddhas, which Prabhupada says is 99% of the population, can be uplifted to the platform of lovers of Krishna and to attaining full transcendental realization of Krishna's position and our eternal relationship with Krishna. Without Krishna consciousness, without this purifying process, then practically one cannot understand anything. As one devotee, Mataji, once said, disciple Prabhupada, Gauri Mataji, she said that most people I meet on book distribution, they couldn't be any further away from Krishna consciousness if they tried. So it's like that when we go and meet people on the street, even though they show interest in Krishna consciousness, even they may take a book, still practically none of them have any previous spiritual training or qualifications or understanding. Like Prabhupada said, you had no pious activity, not even any pious activity. What to speak of devotional credits? In Kali Yuga we have no pious activity. There's practically not a pious activity in the whole of Kali Yuga. But Prabhupada said he's created our pious activity by the causeless mercy of the pure devotee and the Supreme Lord. Then they're implanting the bhakti lata beads within the hearts of sincere living entities. So just as Srila Prabhupada, he gave his whole life to establishing this Krishna consciousness mission, to establishing the supremacy of Lord Krishna and defeating all impersonal Mayavadi philosophies and even different philosophies like this, where people think that Vishnu is the supreme. We also have to be representatives of Srila Prabhupada and his followers to establish these transcendental opinions of the Vedic literatures and of the great souls, like mentioned here, Lord Brahma and the great demigods. So we can do that by boldly preaching Krishna consciousness, by distributing en masse these transcendental literatures, by going out as much as possible, distributing the holy name, chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in the streets, like Keshavabhu was stating basically yesterday in his talk last night, that by chanting Hare Krishna in the streets, by the loud vibration, spreading the loud vibration of the holy name of the Lord, all the sinful desires within people's hearts are gradually purified and nullified. And people who are faithless, basically everyone in Kali Yuga is faithless. They have no faith in God, they have no faith in the devotees, have no faith in the Vedic literatures. But by hearing again and again the holy name, or taking prasadam, or receiving these transcendental literatures, people's faith in Krishna consciousness becomes established. So, in Sydney, we've been blessed recently with some disciples of Devamrita Swami coming from New Zealand to help push on the preaching in Sydney, and they're now distributing, helping to distribute thousands of books, Srila Prabhupada's books in Sydney, and bringing many new people to Krishna consciousness. And they're very, very nice devotees, very dedicated, and we can see the result that many new people are coming along to Krishna consciousness. They've established one ashram in Sydney. The boys in New Zealand, they're there. Patatma Prabhu, he's got one ashram for them, and now a few months later they're realizing they have to get another building because there's about three or four devotees who want to join up, isn't it? So we can see the practical experience by preaching Krishna consciousness. There's many people who are ready to join, to take part. Many people have received the mercy of this Krishna consciousness movement over many years. And if we go and give them time and give them these wonderful jewels of Srila Prabhupada's mercy in the form of these transcendental literatures, then many, many people will take to Krishna consciousness. The other day I was doing some sankirtan in some pubs. It was like the Mardi Gras in Sydney. And I was distributing some small books, and this lady, there's a group of young people at a table, and she said, "Oh, I got a Bhagavad Gita and a Krishna book today, and I've been reading them already." And so I gave her a matchless gift. She said, "Oh, I already have this one." Then her friends had, I gave one of her friends that on the way to Krishna. So her friend said, "Oh, okay, I'll swap with you." So they swap books. Just the other night I was at the airport picking up my wife, waiting to pick up my wife, and the plane was late, so I took in some Bhagavatam. She's always saying to me, like, "No, wherever you are, make sure you have some books." So, you know, usually we go to the airport, pick up someone we probably wouldn't think to carry some books with us, and you know, distribute some books while we're waiting. So I was trying to, you know, adhere to her enthusiasm. So I took in some Bhagavatams, and the plane was like 3/4 hour late, so I managed to distribute a few Bhagavatams there, which was really nice. There were some really sweet people. So Prabhupada wanted this, that whoever we are, whatever position we're in, whether we're a full-time devotee in the temple, a sankirtan devotee, or a cook, or pujari, or housewife, that we all take this opportunity to preach the glories of Krishna, to convince people of the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Take all opportunities to distribute his glories by distributing his books, going out the streets, chanting the holy names, distributing prasadam. Just tomorrow, I was talking with Bhakti Prabhu yesterday, tomorrow the devotees are going out to the fire zone, blazing fires of material existence. So many people are suffering, immense suffering in conditions like this. So the devotees are going out there to distribute prasadam as much as they can. So this is very wonderful. And obviously this will touch many people's hearts. And if we engage ourselves in preaching the glories of Krishna through these different methods, we actually become more enlivened and more ecstatic ourselves, and more convinced of this process of Krishna consciousness. Especially when we see other people taking to Krishna consciousness. just like some of us have been around for many years, and when we see young people join Christian consciousness eagerly, taking to chanting and dancing and engaging in varieties of services, we become very ecstatic, we become very enlivened, and we become more convinced that this process, this preaching movement, it has great potency. So it was very nice to be here. I'm only here for a short time. We have to leave today. We're doing some preaching at the orientation week in Sydney next week, so we have to be up there to organise some things. So thank you very much, and if anyone has any questions or comments. We can just read the verse again. My dear Lord, the original Purusha Avatar, Mahavishnu, acquires his creative potency from you. Thus, with infallible energy, he impregnates material nature, producing the Mahatattva. Then the Mahatattva, the amalgamated material energy, endowed with the potency of the Lord, produces from itself the primeval golden egg of the universe, which is covered by various layers of material elements. And we can read the purport, it's only a few lines. In the previous verses, the supremacy of the personality of Godhead has been established in relation to the living entity and material nature. In this verse, it is clearly stated that Lord Krishna is the source of the greatest Vishnu incarnation, Mahavishnu, that Mahavishnu acquires his creative potency from Lord Krishna. It would therefore be foolish to surmise that Lord Krishna is an expansion of Vishnu. In this regard, the opinion of the demigods headed by Brahma can be taken as final. Anyone like to add something? Any realizations? Corrections? Questions?
Yes, you chant once to Hare Krishna, and what about the ten offenses?
Yeah, well, we recite these ten offenses every day, and these ten offenses can impede the progress in our chanting and our devotional service. Then, like a mad elephant in a garden. If you have a nice garden, you don't have a good fence, then a wild animal like an elephant may come, completely destroy your garden. So we have to be very careful to avoid these ten offences to the holy name that we're reciting every day, because they can check our progress very much. Of course, even if one is chanting the holy name derisively or neglectfully, or committing the ten offences while chanting or performing devotional service, there's still some benefit there. The holy name is so powerful because it's no different from Krishna. We're getting directly in association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But it may be very slow, our advancement, if we don't guard ourselves from these offences. Especially the most grievous offences, being blasphemous towards the devotees who have dedicated their lives to preaching the glories of the Lord, committing sinful activities on the strength of the holy name. Some of the offences are more grievous than others. So we should be very diligent to avoid these offences, understanding the detriment by not avoiding these offences. And if we can come to the platform of avoiding these offences and rendering devotional service and chanting purely the holy names and hearing with rapt attention this transcendental philosophy, then we can experience that we're making leaps and bounds of advancement in Krishna consciousness. We can tangibly feel we're becoming very purified in our hearts of all material desires. We're developing more and more attraction for hearing these pastimes, for more and more attraction for chanting purely the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, more and more attraction for preaching the glories of the Lord. This is the proof of the pudding is in the eating itself. So we can know how much we're progressing, how much we're advancing towards attraction for Krishna, by how much we're becoming detached from attraction for material energy. So if we're not careful, if we commit these offences while chanting, then we may be overwhelmed by material desires or material attachment. and we may lose the taste for Krishna consciousness. Sometimes we wonder why devotees leave Krishna consciousness, and usually it's because they're committing one or more of these 10 offences to the holy name, offences to the deity, offences to the devotees, like this. Anyone would like to add anything?
Just something I was saying, if a person comes along and you say Hare Krishna for you're in the restaurant and someone comes and says Hare Krishna to you, and it said you were saying they get free from all reactions. And that's explained that in one sense they chant the name and there's no offence, it's like clearing the chanting for them. But later on when you learn more about the process, then you've got to be more careful. So the trouble is when we become familiar with the process, we can become a little bit contentious also. Familiar with degrees of contempt. And therefore, initially we may be on the platform of Nambas where we're clearing, but then we can get into Namapra where different things become entrenched, like criticising devotees or inattentive chanting or maintaining material attachments or even performing simple activities that become entrenched. And then in that sense it's a Namapra, whereas a new person sort of like they're a Nambas, because they don't really know enough to be Namapra. So there's a slight difference. So we have to be very careful. Namapra, where certain incorrect behaviours and mentalities become entrenched, then it becomes hard to make advancement.
There is that tendency, definitely, to become familiar, even maybe after many years, with the process of Krishna consciousness, and we maybe take it too cheaply or lightly. And like you said, that all offences spring from inattentive chanting. So we may get a bit lazy and maybe, we're thinking of other things while we're chanting, or we may be even doing other things while we're chanting. Or, sometimes you see devotees chanting their rounds while they're driving. Who was it? I think it was Burijabu when he was young, but he was driving a taxi. And he was chanting while he was driving, and went to pull down the counter beat, and he crashed into the car in front of him. So, this is definitely not recommended to chant while we're doing other things.
Right. The notice board out there is the big one in the
center. Okay, reading the notice board while chanting. Sometimes we have problems sleeping while chanting, falling asleep while chanting. So, one has to be very attentive, and we find that when we're chanting, we're just hearing the vibration of the holy name and being in the right mentality. Oh my Lord, oh energy of the Lord, please engage me in your loving devotional service. We're in this consciousness. This is what the mantra means. It's asking for devotional service from Krishna, asking to be engaged in his devotional service, and just hearing with rapt attention. Then if we can be in this right consciousness, we can experience it. We can also be, gradually we'll become free from these other offences, because we're actually becoming more and more purified. As long as the heart is still full of anattas, unwanted desires and attachments, then it's difficult to avoid the 10 offences. Anything else?
What about actually banning devotees from chanting while they're driving?
Right.
Prabhupada actually said we're not allowed to do it.
Yeah. It's very dangerous. Just that example of Varija is one example. But, it's like also, like they have the law of that it's against the law to speak on your mobile phone while you're driving, and you can get a big fine. I remember years ago I didn't know that, and I was driving once and had the mobile phone speaking to someone, and I think I was just slowing down to the toll gates, and I was still driving, and mobile phone rang, I picked it up, and a car came from behind me, and he said,
put your phone down. I thought he must have been a copper, but he said there's police behind. There was a police car right behind me. Luckily they didn't see me. So also with chanting on your bees, it's very dangerous while you're driving. Of course, you know, you can chant without your bees while you're driving, or maybe listen to it, you know, listen to a lecture like that. That's okay. So, we have to constantly control our mind and senses, like Mataji was saying, even, you know, tendency to maybe look at the notice board, read things while you're chanting, or even sometimes devotees flick the pages of the Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita, looking at the different pictures. It's not recommended. There was one story I heard. One devotee, he was meditating on a picture of Krishna from the books while he was chanting, and then he started to then he was walking around the temple while he was chanting, then he was walking around the block, and then he started walking around the city, the whole city, and then he disappeared. And then once the devotees were on Harinam Sangirtan, and this, they had those manholes in the street, and this, it popped up, and there was that devotee, and then he disappeared again. Strange story. So if we're meditating on other things while we're chanting, then eventually we might be like become so distant from devotional service that, you know, so many material desires come up in the heart, and eventually we're forced to leave Krishna consciousness. Anything else? Okay, so we'll finish there. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srimad Prabhupada ki jai.